Not sure if anyone read the pastor's letter to the congregation this week. I thought it aligned well with the message that I'm going to give today. He focuses on the Proverbs, which is a book filled with practical wisdom, specifically for people who want to live a life pleasing to God. Practical wisdom covers a wide variety of topics, including the one at the core of the message that I will be giving today, which is how we speak. How we speak. Brethren, how many of us have ever said something we wish we could take back? Maybe we said something we regret in traffic or to a coworker or even a brother or sister in Christ. I know I have, and I'm sure if we take a quick poll, everyone would agree that on occasion we have a slip of the tongue. And it probably happens more often than we would like to admit, especially today. Nowadays, it seems like everyone has something to say. They have to get that last word in. We live in a unique time in history where the power of the tongue can be amplified far beyond our normal sphere of influence as we would have in the olden days. Consider the impact of a single post from a world leader with just a few sentences, literally a few seconds of typing. One single message can cause the stock market to lose billions of dollars. It could stir up civil unrest or even shift the diplomatic relations between world powers. We see this happening on repeat every day. Words spoken with little regard for consequences, causing ripples that impact people's lives. We see the chaos of words and what they can cause, yet somehow we fail to recognize that we too carry that same power in our pockets and on our lips. Today, anyone with a smartphone can send a spark that catches fire and circles the globes in seconds, going viral. We may not be an influencer with millions of followers, but we do have the power to influence our families, our friends, our co-workers, and our church brethren. Our words influence the world around us. And with our words, we have the power to build up or to tear down, to impart love, or to spread hate. Brethren, our words have power, which is the title of today's message. Our words have power. Sometimes we treat our words as if they're nothing, just meaningless sounds that disperse like vapors in the wind. Typically, when we say something wrong, our response is, "I didn't mean anything by it," or "I was just kidding around." But the Word of God suggests our words have profound impact. Our words can be the primary indicators of our spiritual health, and the tongue is the primary tool of our influence. As we come together this Sabbath, which is a day set apart for restoration, I would like to examine our tongues and our words through the lens of the book of James. So let's start turning to James, the book of James, chapter 3. And let's make sure to plant a bookmark on this book and this chapter, because we will be spending the majority of our time working our way through James chapter 3. In James chapter 3, he makes an incredible observation about our tongue and the words we transmit. Using a few simple examples, he provides us with great spiritual insight. And so the first insight he confirms is the one we just said: our words have power. But he also points out that they have direction. Let's begin reading James chapter 3 and verse 3, where he says, "Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and it boasts great things." Brethren, consider what he's saying here when he compares the tongue to a bit in a horse's mouth or a rudder on a ship. We know a horse is strong and it can throw a man down to the ground without hesitation. Yet that tiny little bit in its mouth controls the strength. We also can draw attention to the ship that he points out. Carrying, if you think about today in the news with the Strait of Hormuz, these massive ships that are moving equipment. They're heavy enough to carry cargo across the ocean, yet they're steered by this relatively small little rudder that's hidden underneath the water. James is highlighting a simple truth, letting us know that direction is often determined not by the greatest force, but by the smallest point of control. And so, like the ships at sea, hammered by endless waves and fierce winds, it's the same thing for each of us. The external pressures of life, the financial strain, the job demands, the health struggles, and even the fears about the future can toss us back and forth, causing us to stray off course. Yet James says it's not ultimately the wind or the waves that determines our destination. It is the rudder that takes us wherever the pilot desires. In other words, the question is not whether life will bring strong winds. We know that it will. The question is, who is holding the wheel, and in what direction is that rudder turning to? The tongue functions like our rudder. It may seem small compared to the storms we face, but our words quietly set the course. They influence our goals, our relationships, and even our final destination. We should listen to what comes out of our mouths when we are tired, when we are stressed out, and we could find ourselves in these many life challenges. What are we saying? What words come out of our mouths? Do we speak of faith or do we speak of defeat? Do we speak of words of peace or do we speak of words of strife? Do we speak of gratitude or do we constantly complain? Jesus Christ teaches us that a tree is known by its fruit. You guys can turn here if you'd like. Luke 6, verse 45. Luke chapter 6 and verse 45. Jesus says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Yes, brother, we learn so much about ourselves during these moments of difficulties. For out of the abundance of our heart, our mouths speak. And it's usually in those moments that our heart gets filled with stress and pain and anxiety. And sometimes the heart speaks harsh words that can steer a marriage or a family. Even a congregation can become distant. Even the way we speak to ourselves, the private words we use that no one else can hear, can steer our hope downward or lift our spirit upward. Over time, the tongue does not merely describe where we are. It often helps us to decide where we are going. And so, brethren, God invites us to be restored at the deepest levels of our hearts and minds. Our restoration begins when God pricks our hearts. When we finally realize the words we say a lot about who we are and who we trust to direct our path. We must also allow Jesus Christ to become the pilot of the ship. If we only confess God's truth on the Sabbath, but speak bitterness the rest of the week, it's like claiming Christ as the captain while letting someone else steer the ship. James points here. He points out that we must bring our words and tongues under the direction of Jesus Christ, the captain of our salvation. When Christ governs our tongue, our words should become instruments of direction, sharing words of truth, providing encouragement, but also showing restraint when needed. But when the flesh governs the heart, the tongue causes us to drift off course. And if we're not sure if life is pushing us off course, James tells us to listen to what comes out of our mouth. What do our words reveal about the inner man inside of each of us? What course are we setting for our family, for our friendships, and for the body of Christ? If our words are turning towards negativity, then our life will begin drifting in that direction. But if our words turn toward faith, speaking God's promises instead of panic, then even in the fiercest winds, our ship will stay on course. King Solomon shares this wisdom in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, when he says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. It is a clear warning for all of us. And so, brethren, if we want to change the direction of the ship, we must change the direction of the rudder. And that starts with the small, intentional choices, like pausing before we respond or we say something. Avoid spewing out snide remarks or replacing complaining with thanksgiving. And let prayer be our first language. Returning to the verses of James chapter 3 and verse 5, we see that he moves from a bit and a rudder to comparing the tongue to a destructive fire. He reminds us that fire is powerful and it can be used for both good and evil. We use it for cooking, warming our homes, and giving light in the darkness. But in the wrong place, left unattended, fire can consume everything around it. And our words are the same. God created speech for worship, for instruction, for correction, and comfort. But when our words are left unchecked, fueled by pride, driven by anger, they become a spark that spread destruction far beyond the moment they are spoken. Let's go ahead and read James chapter 3 and verse 5. James 3 and verse 5. It says, "Even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity." James here uses a very vivid symbology to make a point. There is a danger of the tongue. And it's not just the size of the tongue, because the tongue is a small member of the body. It's the speed and the scale and power at which the tongue can cause its damage. He tells us to see how great a forest a little fire kindles. Consider how a single sentence can alter the atmosphere of a room, or how a careless accusation can spread like a wildfire and stain a person's reputation for life. Or how a sharp word can cut deep, leaving scars that last for a lifetime. Our words travel quickly, and once they depart from our tongues, we can never call them back. In Proverbs 18:21, you could write this one down, we are reminded that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Brethren, take notice that our words, they're not neutral. They will always produce some sort of fruit. They either bring love or hate, humility or pride, unity or division, or ultimately life or death. The sobering reality is that words are spoken in the blink of an eye, but their effects can have consequences for a lifetime. Words can cause forest fires in our communities, dividing families, cooling friendships, even fragmenting congregations, leaving behind scars that can be difficult to heal. Many fires start with a small spark, yet they spread quickly with great impact. A sarcastic comment meant to put someone in their place, or an outburst of anger leading to sharp words, or a text message or post shared without considering the effects. Once the spark leaves our mouth, we lose control of where it ends up. We can apologize, but we can never really take back what was said. We can clarify, but cannot unhear what was heard. This is why the Bible calls God's people to a higher standard. We can't simply speak our mind without weighing the consequences. We must control the tongue before the spark ignites into a fire. Paul recommends in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, if you'd like to turn there. Always hold your spot in James, because we'll be back there. Paul recommends in Ephesians 4, 29. He says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." And so Paul not only forbids corrupt words, he gives us a litmus test for the words that we speak. Do our words build up and impart grace? If not, we should consider them as kindling with the potential to turn into a fire. In Proverbs 13, verse 3, we gain additional wisdom when it says, "The one who guards his mouth preserves his life." The one who guards his mouth preserves his life. Brethren, most fires ignite because we spoke too quickly and listened too slowly. And so the practical wisdom for each of us is very simple. Are we listening with care? Are we responding with love, leaving people more hopeful, filled with joy and peace? Or are we leaving people with a seething anger? James 1:19 reminds us that we must be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. We must have caution when we speak, recognizing the power of the tongue and the challenge we have to tame it. Which brings us to the most convicting part of James' message here in this chapter. And it is the inconsistency of the heart. James exposes the spiritual dividedness of our heart. Many of us recognize how easily our tone can shift. We speak one way at worship and another in traffic, yet another at work or at home. James points us towards an uncomfortable truth that our speech reflects our heart and it has competing loyalties. Sometimes they're good and sometimes they're bad. But he doesn't let us hide behind the idea that it's okay to say whatever we want just because everyone else speaks it or is doing it. James tells us this contradiction is not just a character flaw, but a warning light telling us that something is wrong at our core. Let's pick up at James chapter 3 and verse 8 this time. James 3 and 8. It says, "But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and our Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in a similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter water from the same opening?" Brethren, he's bringing us right to the core of our spiritual contradiction. The same mouth used to bless God is used to curse men who are made in the image of God. Our carnal minds are divided at enmity with God and with each other. James questions whether a spring can send forth fresh or bitter water from the same opening. This question provides an immense point of insight for each of us. A spring does not decide to be fresh 1 hour and then bitter the next. The water itself reveals the source of the spring. The same way our speech reveals the source of the inner man. If what comes out of our mouth is consistently bitter, filled with criticism and contempt or constant complaining, then James says we should not blame the tap. We should examine the source. Consider the words of Jesus when he says in Matthew 12:34. You can write this one down. Matthew 12:34. "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." It's pretty clear. Brethren, like flowing water under pressure, out of the abundance of our hearts, the mouth speaks. Our emotions, our families, our work, all the stress we take in every day fills our hearts. And if we're not careful, it influences our words either negatively or positively. Just consider for a moment these simple questions. When we are corrected, do we overflow with humility or defensiveness? When we are disappointed, do we overflow with trust or bitterness? And when we feel unseen, do we overflow with prayer or with negative comments? The tongue is often the first place where the true condition of the inner man shows itself. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. We must be careful and recognize the system or the symptom of our spiritual dividedness. To speak only nice, sweet things while at the same time remaining unchanged within is not what God expects from his children. He calls us to repentance and a changed heart so his spirit can dwell within us and help to cleanse the source. God's spirit cleanses the fountain so that our hearts can begin the process of purification. King David was very familiar with this. He prayed to God, pleading in Psalms 51 and verse 10. He pleaded, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." He understood God responded in very simple terms in Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26. He says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. This is what we must pray for if we are to turn the spring from bitter to sweet. When God renews the heart, the tongue begins to change. And this doesn't happen overnight. It can only happen when we walk in the Spirit. And James tells us to gauge that source. Instead of asking, how do we stop saying the wrong thing? We should be asking, what are we storing inside of our hearts? Because whatever is stored in our hearts is what we will pour out to the world. If we fill our heart with God's word, with prayer, and with gratitude, our tongues will have fresh water to draw from. But if we are filled with anger, suspicion, constant complaining, the spring can become bitter. And so to change the source, we must begin with repentance, worship, and change our hearts. Create in us this renewed heart so that our speech aligns with the truth. And that truth unites us with Christ and God our Father. Jesus tells us in John chapter 7 and verse 38, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And so when we repent and follow Christ through the process of perfection, our words begin to actively build and restore those around us. And out of our hearts will flow rivers of living water. And this is the final insight of the message. If the tongue has the power to destroy, it also has the power to create. And on this Sabbath, we are called to restore ourselves from the inside out. Our words, our speech, should sound like that of the kingdom, truthful, gentle, and loving. Our speech should rebuild what the trials of the week have torn down. The word we should be familiar with by now is edification, which literally means to build up. Our words are meant to function like bricks and mortar for the soul, strengthening what is weak and supporting what is weary and repairing what is cracked and broken. Brethren, just to be clear, edifying speech does not flatter. It does not hide truth. It speaks in a way that helps someone stand and not in a way that pushes people down. We are as living stones being built into a spiritual temple. Do our words reflect that? Our brother Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. He says, therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are doing. But in Colossians 4, 6, Paul provides another analogy for us when he says, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Brethren, salt does at least two things. It preserves and it adds flavor. In the same way godly words slow the decay of bitterness, but they also make the truth easier to receive. There's something beautiful and loving that comes from God's word, especially when it is spoken with wisdom, patience, and love. Sometimes this means giving a gentle and honest apology or making a humble confession. Sometimes just simple words of encouragement, reminding someone that they are seen, that they are valued. In the same way, the right tone and timing of our words can help the truth land without turning into a burning fire. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. That's Proverbs 16, verse 24. Righteous speech is not weak, it's tactful. It waits for the right time and the right place. It knows when to speak and when to be silent. It has a loving tone that fosters peace instead of conflict. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. So what does this look like in practice, especially today on this Sabbath? Well, it means we come to services prepared to strengthen one another, not to critique one another. It means we speak gratitude instead of revisiting frustrations. It means we use the day to repair relationships, to make the calls that we've been putting off, or send a text that says, I'm sorry, or even an offering of forgiveness for a previous offense that may be weighing us down. Our righteous speech turns the Sabbath into a workshop of reconciliation, because the tongue of the wise promotes health, as we read in Proverbs 12, verse 18. Brethren, James is clearly warning us about the dangers of the tongue, but we should also be encouraged, because with edifying words, we can steady a struggling brother. With a simple word of appreciation, we can soften the pain of a hard week. That a word of truth can redirect a wandering spirit back to the hope which is in Christ. When our speech is surrendered to God, the Sabbath truly becomes a day of rest for everyone. It unites the body of Christ as we share each other's burdens. And so, brethren, as we prepare to close this message, let us reflect on the prayer of the psalmist in Psalm 141, verse 3. Psalm 141, verse 3. And it serves as a perfect blueprint for our daily walk. When we recognize the bitter words flowing out of our mouths, we should plead as he did by praying, please set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Brethren, a guard does not just keep things in. A guard also decides what is worthy to be let out. This week, as we leave this hall and return to our homes, our workplaces, our digital platforms, let us imagine that guard is standing at the door of our lips. Before we speak, let us ask ourselves three final questions. Do my words steer me towards the kingdom, or do they cause me to drift towards the world? Am I using my words to light the way for others, or am I leaving a trail of scorched relationships? Am I drawing from the fountain of God's Spirit, or am I letting the pressures of this world poison the spring? Brethren, let our words today, during our fellowship and throughout the coming week, be a living reflection of the rest we find in Christ. Let them be peaceful and purposeful and seasoned with grace. This Sabbath is a shadow of the kingdom to come, a kingdom where every word spoken will be one of truth. And by yielding our tongues to the pilot of our salvation today, we are practicing that language for the kingdom tomorrow. So let us remember that our words have power. So let them reflect the very character of God.